Joining us, one of the former Giants, one of the toughest pitchers around. I always like to talk some pitching with him. He's up in the Sacramento area. Jim Barr, he pitched for the Giants 71-78, 82-83. The Angels 79-80. He once retired, I'll remember this, and everyone in Giants history does, 41 straight in a row over two games, the Pirates and the Cardinals, before Bernie Carbo got a double, and he ended up with a two-hitter and a three-hitter, 101 wins in his Major League career, and he's with us on Sunday morning. Did I say enough, Jim?
You bet, Marty. Thank you.
Yeah, and USC. I want to throw that in, too.
You bet.
All right. Hey, you got to see the game last night, and as I say, I wanted to give the fans an idea who don't know you and don't remember what you accomplished in the game. But watching Lincecum last night, give us your take on it.
Well, When I was watching a game, I've always enjoyed watching Lincecum, especially the last year and a half or so anyway, when he's struggled a few times here and there, is because, you know, he's got great pitches. And I've always thought the thing that, I don't know if he's trying to throw the pitches so they can't hit it or what, but, you know, sometimes the walks have been one thing that's kind of hurt him a little bit, that and pitch count, and he gets into the sixth, seventh inning, he struggles a little bit with a high pitch count and giving up a couple runs in that. Sometimes it's usually right around that sixth inning. That last night I was really enjoyed watching because I thought he had his pitches, even though at times it looked like he was, you know, he got up there around the 148 pitches total, you know, and that might seem like a lot and everything, but for him, I don't think it's too bad. But I thought his pitches were pretty close to the zone last night, and that the way they were throwing, they weren't missing by a lot. And if he missed once or twice, he came back with strikes after that. So I was impressed with watching that part of the game. Of course, then naturally early on in the game, he had the strikeouts going, so you're watching it because of, okay, how many can he strike out a row? He really had the zone going there. And then, of course, naturally from about seventh inning on with a no-hitter and everything. But one thing that I saw, and you look at, of course, when the camera's up close on him, especially in that ninth inning after the first out, to say, well, after the second out, and before the hitter got in there, you're looking to see, okay, is he showing a little motion? Is he saying, okay, I really want to get this last guy. I really want. It shows him kind of look up a little bit into the sky away from the hitter. And that told me right there, he's focused. He has one idea, and that's just make my pitches, get the outs, and, you know, what happens, happens. And that told me right there that I like that. I think if more pitchers can show that kind of focus in the first inning, second, third, all the way through the game, and that each pitch matters, you're only one pitch away from getting out of any situation, then you're focused in a game. And I thought that's where he was last night.
Boy, great analysis. Jim Barr joins us, former Giants pitcher. You know, I could just imagine what Bochy and Dave Rigetti were going through, because, you know, we live in this era of pitch counts. And all of a sudden, as you said, in the sixth inning with all the strikeouts, he's at 103. And all of a sudden, he's 117, 130. And I could just see the look on Bochy's face. It didn't look like he was having fun.
Yeah, it was tough. You knew probably as soon as if he gave up that one hit, that boom, that was going to be it. Because with a 9-0 lead, why go out there and push him any harder than that? But since he hadn't given up that hit, yeah, you let him go. And he's had, you know, a lot of games where he's gotten up there in the pitch counts. He has that type arm where he bounced back. It's just, you know, certain guys can do that. I've never really been a big believer in the pitch count. To me, it's more of a reference point for inconsistency. Now, if a guy gets up around 100 pitches and, you know, maybe the fifth inning, especially the fifth inning, that's not good, but the sixth inning, seventh inning, and he's being inconsistent with his pitches, high, low, high, low. Now I say, okay, he's at 100 pitches. Yeah, he's starting to labor a little bit. But pitch counts by itself, I go by the old adage that if you're getting them out, you stay in. I want the results, and you're getting results, and I know you have the type of arm, and you can stay out there, you're going for it. Go get them.
Yeah, I like that. That's another one of your adages. If you're getting them out, you stay in. The other one we use a lot is if you're hoping, you ain't pitching.
That's right. You can't hope.
I like that one. All right, I'm going to add that one. So if you're getting them out, you're staying in. I like that. No, you're good on these adages. I like that. Jim Barr with us. All right, now, the last no-hitter on the road was John the Count Montefusco. You should have been there for that one, right, in Atlanta?
I was there in Atlanta, yes.
Tell us about the Count and Ed Halicki. Those are a couple of no-hitters from your era.
Well, I remember one hitter in the game. It was about the seventh inning or so. I don't remember who the hitter, but I remember the situation. I'm sitting down in the bullpen, and Count's got a 3-2 count on the hitter, and he throws him a curveball. And I went, and of course, I think we were winning the game by a few runs, too. It wasn't like 9-0, but it wasn't a one-run game either. And he throws him a curveball and strikes a guy out. And I go, you got to be kidding me. How do you throw, with your fastball, how do you throw that guy a curveball in a 3-2 count in that situation? He goes, oh, I just knew I could throw it for a strike. And I look at him and go, no, you didn't. You didn't know that. You were just hoping to get him out.
You know, it's funny, the superstitions of baseball. And you guys observed it as well. Last night, you know, we had Ron Wotus on this morning. I said, boy, they showed you one inning. Well, when Lindskum walked past you, you looked the other way. You wouldn't even look at him. I love that superstition. I don't like it for broadcasters and everyone else because we can't jinx anything. But you can throw somebody off within the game of baseball when you're close to them if you don't adhere to that superstition.
I did see that when they had the camera on him when he was going out for the ninth inning. You could just see nobody was looking at him. Nobody wanted to even say anything like, okay, let's go, 1, 2, 3, go get him. They didn't want anything to do with saying anything wrong.
No. How far did you go in a game without giving up a hit? I know you had 41 straight over two games, but you had a two-hitter, a three-hitter. Did you ever come close in a no-hitter?
No, I know I had a couple of two-hitters. Probably one of the best two-hitter I threw that I remember was the Cardinals. Lou Brock led the game off with a one hopper off my glove. The ball rolled behind me. He was safe at first for a base hit. I didn't give up another hit until two outs in the ninth inning. Lou Brock came up, hit a one hopper off my glove. He was safe at first for a base, and that was the only two hits they got. So that's the closest I really ever came.
Wow.
For me, it was going to be tough for me anyway because I didn't strike very many guys out. For me to strike out 13 guys, I'd have to go three games to do that. I wasn't going to strike very many guys out, but I didn't walk very many guys out either. So it was going to have to depend on my defense. And what a great catch Pence made last night, too.
Wasn't that something?
Go ahead. Well, and it's difficult. If I think Kruko was mentioning a little bit about it. I didn't hear the whole thing, but when you see an outfielder dive head first, that's a tough catch. Yeah, they can dive feet first and they can dive sideways, but to dive head first and catch the ball, that's tough because your arms sometimes are hitting the ground first, bounces your glove. So that's a very tough catch.
How about his reaction afterwards, just coming in and, you know, the look on his face. And, you know, you've been around enthusiastic players before, I'm sure, but there's something about this guy. And just seeing him walk in the dugout, when they showed him walk in the dugout, that grin he had was just unbelievable.
That's nice to see. I mean, you like to see guys really enjoying the game and not going, yeah, I enjoy it, but, you know, I don't want to show too much emotion. Why not? You know, that was a great catch. It was a great time of the game. I mean, the last out in the eighth inning, you only have one more inning to go. And you make a catch to preserve a no-hitter, why not show a little motion? That was nice to see.
Yeah, and Sandoval had a great play behind the bag, and not just catching the ball, but the throw was a rocket to first.
He's got a very good arm. Sometimes it just, you know, the thing is watch with him is sometimes his accuracy, but, yeah, he made some great plays last night. That's nice to see.
All right, Jim Barr with us. Jim, what does this mean to a ball club that's been looking for the bright light that's got 20-35 in their last 55 games? What does a game like this do? I realize it's one game in a long game of a baseball season in that mosaic we talk about, but can you build off of one game like that?
I think you can. I think what happens is it kind of gets that mentality away from, okay, we won tonight, you know, whether it's a one run, two runs, three runs, whatever. Okay, we won tonight. Let's you know, try and get back on, you know, maybe we can win again tomorrow. You have a game like that, and it's like, wow, we won on a no-hitter. You know, it's a happy time. So you don't have to try to analyze too much because You know, we all know what happens when we try to analyze too much, and not too many. Sometimes not too many good things can happen. So in a game like that, you accept the celebration, what went on, be good about it, and be ready to come out today and just start it over again.
All right. What about Barry Zito? You've seen a lot of his work. You know, he was 15 wins last year. For some reason this year, he's not putting it together as easily on the road. Even at home, he's sort of fallen off. What's up with Zito?
To me, as a ex-pitcher, and I guess maybe a little bit too much sometimes as a coach, you watch these things, and I'm a big fan of Barry. I thought he's pitched very well the last 2-3 years. Yeah, at times he's had some bad games, bad streaks, even a bit this year where he's not pitched very well on the road, but pitched very good at home. But over the time, he's had some good games. He just haven't scored runs, and he's kept the games in hand, but we've lost, so therefore the pitcher gets the loss and everything. So I like watching him pitch. The one thing that I think when you see him pitch, when he has his good games, when he seems to be really on, to me his curveball's a little harder. He's getting that harder curveball over more for strikes. When he's struggling a little bit, he doesn't seem to have the hard curveball, and then his soft curveball is not quite what it used to be. I think it's still a very good pitch, especially when he can I think anytime you can spot your fastball, I've been a big believer, anytime you can spot your fastball, whether it's 90-plus, 90, or even in the 80s, if you can spot that and then get a second pitch over consistently for strike, you're going to be tough. You can be successful. So I think the key for me when I watch Barry, when I see him pitch, is I try to watch for his breaking ball. If he's got he throws two types of breaking balls. When he's throwing his harder one a little bit more for strikes and he's spotting his fastball a little bit, the other pitchers I don't worry about. Then I know he has those two to always rely back on and he'll be okay.
Well, terrific. Well, we'll look for that today. Jim, thanks a million for coming on, and I knew you could put some perspective on last night, and just a pleasure to have you on. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Mari. Thank you.
All right, that is Jim Barr. Boy, terrific, huh? He just did my keys to the game. Look for the hard curveball. Make sure you can spot the fastball. Boy, Jim Barr, an expert. And he's a good coach. He teaches pitching as well. Nice to have him on.